While walking on the prairie a couple years ago, I very nearly stumbled over a newborn pronghorn. The spindly creature was curled into a tight ball beneath a sagebrush while the mother looked nervously from a nearby hilltop. I was reminded of this encounter on a beach walk when I nearly stepped on the nest of a piping plover. The shallow depression in the sand held three eggs, and a few feet away, the mother provided an enthusiastic but unconvincing broken wing display. I'm told that the bare nest of the plover is a strategy to camouflage the speckled eggs, sort of like parking a rusty 1983 Ford pickup rather than a 2013 BMW in front of the Buckhorn Bar in Laramie. The plover knows that a humble nest avoids attention. Henry David Thoreau saw the Cape Cod Dunes as a lowly landscape, writing that the plowed fields of the Cape look white and yellow, like a mixture of salt and Indian corn. This is called soil by the locals. Land near Truro sold for 25 cents an acre, and some, according to Thoreau, was not considered worth writing a deed for. Likewise, the arid grasslands of Wyoming were thought to be nearly worthless. The Homestead Act originally provided 40 acres to settlers, but the land in my region was so meager that the government eventually allotted 640 acres to entice people to come. Poor lands grow impoverished people. Of course, the Cape Cod communities found profitable work by harvesting the ocean, and Wyomingites tapped the vast seas of oil and gas under our land. Extracting fish and fuel are dangerous endeavors, and Wyoming consistently ranks as having one of the highest worker death rates in the nation. Although Thoreau marveled at the schooners returning with loads of 50,000 fish from a single voyage and declared the inexhaustible fertility of the sea, many of the Atlantic fisheries were soon depleted. Today, energy analysts pronounce that Wyoming has more than a century's worth of coal, while being silent about their mistaken predictions in 2005 that the coal bed methane boom would last for 20 years. But poor people are not ungenerous. In fact, income-adjusted rates of charitable giving are inversely correlated with wealth. In other words, rich people are greedy. Thoreau found the people of Cape Cod willing to share their time, stories, firesides, provisions, and accommodations, the latter at a modest cost. In my travels of Wyoming's backroads, I've never encountered a rancher, however, land rich and cash poor, lacking in generosity. Of course, when most everything is imported, as in Thoreau's Cape Cod in today's Wyoming, both places being largely devoid of farming or manufacturing, prices are high and people are frugal. Thoreau said that the country looked so barren that I had several times refrained from asking inhabitants for a piece of string or a piece of wrapping paper, for they plainly were obliged to import such things. The challenges of transportation lead to a kind of virtue, as evidenced by the innovative repurposing of wood, shells, and hardware in contemporary beach shacks, which are oddly reminiscent of ranch houses. Thoreau thought that poverty grass deserved a better name, but I take this moniker to be an honorific title. Although he wrote that the grass was despised by many on account of its being associated with barrenness, it seems to me that a species capable of flourishing with few resources should be esteemed. In fact, let's make this our national plant, as a reminder that we can, and should, strive to reduce consumption. My wife is a social worker, so I'm not so naive as to romanticize poverty. A lack of food, clothing, and shelter can be dehumanizing, leaving a person with little capacity for deeper experiences. But it's also true that wealth can be dehumanizing, leading a person to pursue vacuous wants and little ability to distinguish these from authentic needs. One morning, I looked up from watching a nymph of the maritime grasshopper contemplate its simple breakfast of poverty grass, as an SUV lumbered along the sandy track below our shack. I wasn't terribly conflicted about which of these was the better model for how I should be living.